What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Dakota Mekas.
6'7", 250-pound Mekas. Swing and a miss. Struck him out.
Welcome back to the Compound Podcast. This is episode 257. 257 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rum. Go to your local Binnie's. We've shouted out some Binnie's in past episodes, but go to your local Binnie's. Whatever one's close to you, Lincoln Park, whether you're on the North Shore, whether you're Naperville, wherever you are, go to your local Binnie's, grab yourself a bottle of Parse rum, and send us a picture of it. Send us a picture, talk about it, tweet it out. Parse rum, Binnie's. If you're a whiskey drinker, try it. Give it a try. I think you're going to like it. Dakota loves it.
It's delicious.
Favorite rum.
I love it. Can't get enough. Might have some at the live show May 31st.
May 31st, live show, Music Box Theater. Tickets are selling fast. I think our friends at Marquee are going to have a little giveaway, a couple of the VIP tickets. But check out musicboxtheater.com for tickets.
Pete Crow Armstrong, the hottest baseball player on planet Earth, is our guest.
Second hottest. We'll get into that, but second hottest.
PCA is going to be our guest. He'll be talking. He'll be hanging during the show. And we're not going to have video. This is going to be a live show. Last year, we did like a full video episode. We're going to do a little bit different this year. Timing's a little bit different, but we'll have a little bit of like highlights after, but we're not going to have a full show on video. We will have the audio after, but if you want to experience it, if you want to be a part of it, get your ticket. Come to the live show, Music Box Theater, 7 p.m., May 31st.
Last year was a live recording of Compound. This is a live show. It's slightly different, but it will be a event that we want you to be in person for. And it's going to live in the room. And hopefully we'll get to talk about some cool stuff. People should bring some questions. I was thinking about that. People bring some questions. You know, if you got some good questions, maybe we'll do a little mailbag in person.
And I'm going to be feeling great at the game before, having a couple cold ones. Tom said, if you see Dakota, buy him a cold one. Oh, no, I'll have to drink them all.
Good news. I took off that day. So now I'm going to be with you at the game.
No,
I've come up with a new plan to be with you all day. So that way I'm in control of this situation.
Big
train can't run away from me if I'm with them all day.
Does that make me a sicko if I like sneak off to the bathroom and like chug a drink up at the top?
A little bit.
Who knows? Who knows what could happen? You want me loose, Tom. You need me loose on that stage. And that's how I get loose. Otherwise, I'm nervous and I don't like it and I'm uncomfortable.
A couple of beer bats for Dakota during the game.
I mean, twist my arm, I'll drink them.
What do you guys want to start with? You want to start talking about Shota? Is that the most pressing topic we got?
Well, the first thing, just because you just said it, it's the most pressing, but I want to start here. Zach will love this if he listens. Probably doesn't. Tom said PCA, hottest hitter on the planet. I said second, because the hottest hitter on the planet is still the best hitter on the planet, and his name is Aaron Judge.
Yeah, it's true.
He is insane. He's so good. He's on a 30-game on-base streak and a 14-game hit streak. I believe he's hitting I'll get you the exact numbers, but he's sitting north of 400, north of 420, I believe.
Sitting 423 with 11 homers and 33 RBIs.
He's so good.
He's already a three-win player. I know there's a lot of like war talk out there, and like, you know, you hear about the guys that are worth six, seven, eight wins. Being a three-win player in the big leagues is very good.
For a full season. Yeah.
For a whole season.
Can I read his stats? If you guys remember, he got ejected last year. It was his first and only career ejection. It was right around this time last year. And he had been scuttling before that last year. He opened up pretty horribly in April last year. So since then, 156 games, 14.2 F4. The next closest is 10.3. 254 WRC plus, which is the same thing, similar to OPS plus. Next closest is 177. He's hitting 373 with a 498 on base and a 1.289 OPS, 63 homers, 103 extra base hits, 158 RBIs. And that's it in the 156 games since that ejection last year.
And that's good. That's pretty good.
I mean, that's right, like now, Barry Bonds level. I mean, that's like truly, we've only seen a couple of guys in the history of the sport do this.
And it's impressive because he's not just like hitting homers or getting out. Like he gets base hits, like he gets singles, he gets doubles, like hitting 423. Like that's so impressive.
I mean, yeah, he already has 22 extra base hits. It's two triples in there somehow. It's super impressive. And like the Barry Bonds comps, like
you can't touch Barry. You can't touch Barry.
But Judge is doing this in like a crazy hard era to hit. You look at like the league average in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s was like guys were like the league was hitting 260, 270. Like the league is hitting 220.
Yeah.
And Aaron Judge is hitting 420 with, you know, obviously he's not going to end up with the 420 batting average for the full season, but he's leading the league right now in WAR, runs, hits.
I mean, he hit 390 RBIs over his last 160 games. I don't know if anything seems possible with it.
He might hit 400.
Let's not start the 400 tracker yet. When they did
very early, very early.
They did that a couple years ago. They started the 400 tracker in like May. It was like, what are we doing? But
I think my only fear is like, he's already in this territory, but he's getting to the territory of like, if he's up in any big situation or any time there's a runner in scoring position, like you're putting him on, like you're not facing him. Right. Like he's kind of hitting at that level where like you're like, we'll take our chances with the next guys.
Tom, who's in behind him right now?
Belly did yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, they ran out a lineup yesterday that was like 6 through 9. You were like, who? Every guy, you're like, who is this?
They got some injuries. They got some injuries right now.
And it was a Sunday where they were maybe Aaron Boone's famous for his punt lineup. Sometimes on Sundays, he likes to run out a football lineup or half the lineup is a punt. So it was one of those. But yeah, I mean, you know, Goldschmidt's an important guy for them right now. But like, I mean, Jason Dominguez was batting like right near him in the order the other day. And it's like, that's not a lot of protection for a guy like Aaron Judge.
It's typically, I think, Belly or Goldie that hits behind him in.
Yeah, I think just what Goldschmidt has done for that lineup and for Judge, I know he's let off, I know he's done some other things, but Goldschmidt right now is hitting 350, 349 with an 878 OPS plus. Like he's getting on base, walking at a high clip. He's got a 397 on base. Like he's been a huge addition to that lineup, and that's got to be a big difference maker for them, especially when you're going through some injuries and you have a guy like that you can depend on.
Well, and Grisham's been really good this year. Like after last year, he was kind of more of like an on-base guy, but wasn't swinging it great. Like he's been raking this year, like hitting for power, plays good outfield. Like he's been really big for their lineup. Ben Rice has been really good.
Yeah, Ben Rice has been really good.
I still follow the Yankees, Tom. It's kind of they got a spot in my heart always.
Where's Ben Rice playing? Is he mostly DHing or is he playing some first and Goldschmidt? They're going back and forth a little bit with the DH.
Tom.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing first base. They also have Dominguez who needs some DH time. So the DH role, it's nice without Stanton. Obviously, you want Stanton in the lineup, but when you have Stanton, he pretty much is penciled in that DH every single day. So you're able to rotate a little bit more without him. But yeah, Ben Rice, first base, made a really nice defensive play over there the other day. And I think working with a guy like Goldschmidt's also probably been helpful in that way. Obviously, when you have someone who has all that experience and has played that many years at first base, mm-hmm. He's been being called Ben Arroz in Spanish because he's been so hot recently for the Yankees. So that's been the kind of the meme on Yankees. It's exciting times right now in Yankees land.
No complaints from Tom. Wow. Maybe the starting pitching could use a little help, but we'll get everybody. We don't need to talk about that.
I mean, you just heard the stats I read about Aaron Judge, right? I'm not crazy. Now, I could point out yesterday the Yankees lineup was J.C. Ascara, Pablo Reyes, Oswaldo Cabrera, Oswald Peraza to close it out, which is a tough 6-9. Would love to see maybe not Pablo Reyes ever get a bat again. Maybe just never again. But you know.
We went from straight fluff to this. And also, you know who's going to be upset with you? Scotty is not going to be happy that you put Ascara in there because Scotty loves J.C. Ascara. He loves him.
Great story. Don't want a really batting cool sixth. Story.
Fair. Fair.
You know, every story about how he's an Uber driver. I don't want my Uber driver batting sixth for the Yankees. You know, respectfully.
You know what we should have done, Dakota? We should have, when he said no complaints about the Yankees, we should have just moved on.
We should
have moved on. Because
here we are. We did it to ourselves.
So negative there.
I brought it up. That's on me.
It's not what we do in this podcast. Let's move on. We're moving on. I can't hear it anymore. Let's do. Let's go talk about Shota. Well, let's talk about Pete. We started that with Judge, but Pete's been really, really good. Obviously, Pete's been fantastic. The power has been really, just really impressive, and being able a couple homers off lefties, big
that's
spots.
Impressive. That's impressive too, because that's something that I feel like with a lot of lefties, you see, it's like, oh, but if they start a left-handed pitcher, like, you're in trouble. Like, the fact that he's still driving the ball off lefties is a really good sign.
Yeah, driving the ball off lefties. I think he hit two homers against the Brewers the other day. One was basically on the ground that he hit out.
It was insane. Insane.
And, yeah, his ability to cover under the zone is pretty impressive. And just, like, that boost for our lineup down, whether he's hitting six or seven. Dansby was fantastic on the road trip. And so just a complete lineup for us right now, kind of top to bottom, getting production all over the place, and a really good road trip for the Cubbies. 4-2 road trip.
I'm a big fan of what Council did with the lineup of, like, Dansby was scuffling a little bit to start, like, he bumped him down, give him some confidence back, like, he raked that road trip, like, great to see that. And Dansby's like, he's a pro, like, he's gonna be fine. There's no worries of, like, oh, like, is Dansby gonna figure it out? Like, he is a very good baseball player. But I also loved, I saw this on Twitter too, that was a good point, like, not taking PCA's hot streak and, like, throwing him up into, like, the two hole and being like, oh, like, he's ready for the two hole. And then all of a sudden he's seeing, like, the best pitches from the best pitchers. And it's like, let's just keep him where he's at, where he's comfortable. Like you said, give that bottom of the order a little bit of a punch because the top of the order has been dominating. So I like that move from Council to not jump PCA up just because of, like, this hot stretch and, like, keep him where he's comfortable.
Yeah, and at the same time, Carson Kelly, when he's been playing, especially against lefties, he's been up in the four, the four or the five. And so, you know, having that where Carson's been raking, obviously his bat's been fantastic. And I think, you know, he's hit a bunch of homers and had that game with the cycle, but he's been walking too. Like, he's been getting on base, just having super professional at bats. And so him getting bumped up to the four definitely, you know, lengthened out that top against lefties. Let's Bushy get in there and hitting the five or the six, and kind of how that all kind of works together, where there's a little bit of space between Tuck and Bush, and then there's a little bit of space between Bush and PCA. If so, there isn't, like, those pockets for lefty relievers to come in. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it just helps a lot. And I think that Carson being that professional at bat and in the middle of the order has really lengthened it out.
And it helps, like, you don't need to move anyone up in the order, like, with it going you, Tuck, Saya. Like, there's really not much room up there for anyone to jump into those top three since you guys have all been producing. So it definitely, like you said, gives the lineup some depth, where I think from the outside looking in, there was a lot of question marks from Cubs fans of, like, is the bottom of the order going to give enough? So, like, the fact PCA has been raking and Carson Kelly has been great, like, it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, Dansby really lengthens that out at the bottom when he's hitting the eight hole and he had four homers on the road trip. Like
Dansby Swanson in your eight hole, you feel pretty good about that.
Kidding me? But yeah, good road trip. We should talk about Shota in Pittsburgh.
I was going to say, clarify first that it had two different things, like two separate scenarios.
Yeah, really. In Pittsburgh, he had a cramp that popped up on him, would have been his right leg. And then yesterday, hamstring, left leg. Obviously, they'll wait for imaging to come back and everything before making an assessment. I definitely bit him a little bit. I don't know that it's going to be... It's hard with pitchers. You don't know. I think being the push leg is better than being the landing leg.
100%.
You know, you're hoping that it's just a minor, you know, misses one or two starts, and then we get him back out there. He'll be able to keep throwing through it. We have good friends who have had pitcher hamstrings, and so, you know, you can keep throwing, which is a positive. So you don't have to like completely shut down to complete build back up. So you can keep throwing through it. You know, you hope that it's something that isn't too significant. When Steely had it last year, it was a month-ish.
Yeah.
It was like a grade two. Like it was a pretty good one. And he was down on the ground, you know, in Texas when that happened. So, you know, hopefully Shota was able to be walking after, and you know, you're hoping that it's just a minor one, it's one or two starts, and then he's back.
I'm sure that I could get a text from McNulty on this if I'm wrong, but I would say it's definitely better to be your push leg than your land leg, just thinking of how you're working against that lead leg as you're landing. Like, for example, friend of the program, Scotty Efros, it was his landing leg. And that's just something that's a little more finicky of like, as you progress and get back on the mound, it's like, well, if you throw one pitch and land on it a little too firm, like it might grab again. So it's a little more risky of re-injury, I would imagine.
Yes, the land leg is the one for pitchers. So it's the scarier one because the way the hamstring has to break you when you're going over your front side. So if it's the land leg, training staff, player, whatever, everybody is way more concerned about the land leg than the push leg. So that's a positive. If you can take a positive from it, that's a positive.
For sure. And like you said, he can keep throwing. I think the only obvious like concern is like you're not going to throw off the mound in that time. Like you're going to have to build back into that. Like you can still throw, whether it's, I don't know, sitting down or like just off of one leg or from a static position, like you can still throw, which is good to like keep your arm in shape. So like you said, it's not going to be like, oh, he comes back and he has to start at two innings and build back up to five, six innings. Like it's just the mound work that could be a little tough of not getting off the mound, I would assume, for a week or two, like maybe longer, just depending on severity of it. But it is nice that it won't be a super long ramp up process once he is like feeling good and ready to go.
Yeah, from my last spring training hamstring experience, the one interesting thing about when you pull a hamstring is they have you back doing activity like very quickly. Like I pulled my hamstring and within 48 hours, we were doing stuff over a box and like different, like, you know, you're continuing to activate the hamstring and you can do a lot of the stuff that isn't sprinting. Like sprinting is the last thing that you do, but like running on an incline, like stairs, like you're doing that like less than a week out or a week out. Like you're because there's different ways to activate the hamstring that put less stress on it than a full ground run. So there's a lot of things that you can do with the hamstring pull that don't actually aggravate it, that are good for rehabbing. And I think, I think some of the pitchers that we've known they've been throwing, obviously not off mound, but they've been throwing to keep their arm in shape days after.
Yeah. Like I bet he plays catch today or tomorrow. Like, I don't know about like, probably not, that would probably not be today, more off routine. Like if he takes the day after his starts, usually like he probably won't, but guaranteed, like he's throwing a baseball tomorrow.
Definitely keeping his arm in shape and throwing in the next 48 hours.
Yeah. And like you said, all in all, like sucks that he's hurt, like your ace, your best pitcher. So you don't love that, but it is kind of the best case scenario if there's going to be an injury where it's something that shouldn't be too long-term.
Yeah, not a shoulder, not an elbow. I call those things.
Not the other hamstring.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are the positives to take from it. You know, it'll be interesting to see which direction the Cubs go as far as filling the spot. You know, we have Chris Flexen, who's in the bullpen now. He was great the other night, giving us some length, and has started in the big leagues and was really, really good starting in AAA. And so definitely an option. Then you have Cade Horton, who's been really good in AAA.
I was
going to
see if you're going to say his name, because I was like, Cubs fans want to hear you say his name. They don't care if you say he should or shouldn't. They just want to hear his name. Come on.
Not my choice, not my decision, but obviously he's been really good in AAA. And yeah, it'll be interesting to see just kind of which direction they go.
I think the plus for why I could see it being Cade Horton is the fact that it's not going to be like a, I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, like mentality wise for a young player, but like, it's not like a, hey, like you're coming up and you're staying up. Like, it's like a, hey, like you'll make 2-3 starts. And obviously like if he dominates, like you'll find a spot for him. Like, it's not like, oh, he comes up and doesn't give up a run in 15 innings. Like, all right, head back to Iowa. But it's something where it could be a good trial basis of give the young guy that's like your one of your top prospects 2-3 starts, see what you got kind of thing, and go from there.
I was thinking about this. Just I've had a lot of experience with the Cubs and calling up high drafted position players to the big leagues. You know, just whether it's Nico or Pete or
yourself.
Yeah. Or me or some of the guys that came up right before me, like kind of knew, you know, how it worked when guys got called up, situation dictated it, or if guys were going to stay, if they were going to go back down or whatever. I have not had a lot of experience with prospect pitching, starting pitching. Just since I've been here, you know, Adbert and Steele came up in like relieving roles and then did the starting thing. Like, so like they came up, they relieved, they gave some length out of the pen and then worked into like the starting thing. But we haven't had like a, hey, this dude's a prospect starter. Like, here's your introduction to the big leagues. Like, do you do it in New York in a big stage against a really good team? Do you do it at home? Do you do it like, do you do it in May? Do you do it in August? Like,
the big question about this is the innings, right? I mean, this is ultimately, he only threw 34 innings last year, had a lat injury, didn't pitch for most of 2024. He's only thrown 150 career minor league innings. He's the 7th overall pick 2 years ago, you know? So, I mean, he obviously is a highly touted guy. This is, you know, this is a top 15, top 20 kind of prospect in all of baseball. The question is, how many innings is he going to throw this year? Is it 90? Is it 120? Because if it's 90, I don't think he's going to come up. If they're more aggressive and that number is 120, then yeah, maybe this is an opportunity for him. He's been working. His last couple starts have been on the normal 5-man rotation. He's been throwing on 4 days, you know, the 4 days rest, which is what you do in the major leagues. He's looked really good in AAA, and then the walk rate has been down. That's been probably the one thing that if you had a knock on him, it would be the walk rate. Really great start yesterday. So the question is it his time? I kind of get the feeling that they probably won't call him up, but it'll be interesting because by the time people hear this, they'll probably know whether or not if he has been called up. I think the Cubs will probably go with Chris Flexen. He's already there. He looks really good through 3 shutout innings on Friday. You could get him in the rotation, and especially if it's only 1 or 2 starts for Shota, do you really want to affect Horton that much? Bring him up, have him start once or twice, and then if he's good, are you going to move him to the bullpen? It brings up a lot of questions right away. So we'll see. I lean towards they're probably not going to bring him up, but it'd be cool if they did. I'd love to see it, obviously.
I do agree that I think they'll probably lean towards Flexen and then keep Cade Horton's innings down throughout the year, and then maybe – July, August time, it's like, hey, like we need a guy. He's only at whatever 60, 80 innings on the year. He's looked great. Like, let's call him up. You have him for like the stretch run kind of thing. So I would agree, Tom, that I think with it being a short-term plan, I wouldn't necessarily call him up and then be like, all right, well, now we have five starters plus Cade Horton. Like, what do we do? I mean, you're not going to just throw him in the bullpen after that. Like, he's one of your top prospects. So I do agree that since it isn't such a long-term thing, that they might lean towards flexing to get him through a few starts.
It'll be interesting to see, though, and I'm excited.
For sure.
Cade Horton, I mean, and Horton is, as you said, like one of the top-level prospects that the Cubs haven't had. That Iowa team is really fun to watch right now. And I think we talked a little bit about this last week, but we haven't even mentioned Moises Ballesteros, who's on, I think, like an 18-game hitting streak. And Greg Council said he's basically blocked. Unfortunately, does not have a position in for the Chicago Cubs right now. He's hitting around 400. I mean, it is a really interesting trade deadline coming up for the Cubs. And I know Ian can't talk about this, so I'll say this to you, Dakota, but there's a lot of guys right now on that Iowa team that I don't think will be members of the Chicago Cubs organization come July 31st.
No, and I agree, because that's kind of like what you do when you contend. Like, if you're contenders and like you're really making a run at the World Series, like, unfortunately, the costs of getting the deals done around the trade deadline are giving up like your bigger prospects, where you're like, these guys could be studs. But I mean, you look at like Michael Busch, even, like, he's a great player for the Cubs. He was blocked by the Dodgers. So it's like, well, we like this guy. Like, it wasn't like the Dodgers were like, we don't think he'll pan out. It's just like, you're not going to play here for like years because we just don't have anywhere to put you. So like, it's kind of what you have to do, unfortunately.
It happens all the time. I mean, you look at Kyle Stowers, who's having a lot of success in Miami. I covered him back in his Bellingham days, and he was, you know, in the Orioles. And obviously that's like such a tough organization to break in right now too. Gets traded for Trevor Rogers and, you know, kind of a dump and not a move that a lot of people think about. And now he's looks like he can be a key cog for Miami. And same even with Matt Mervis, former Cub, you know, having some success now in Miami. So it's interesting how that works out. But
it is funny too, like, obviously as fans, like, everyone clamors for like those top prospects to get called up. It's like, oh, we need this guy. Like, look at this guy. Look what he's doing in AAA. First of all, it's not that easy to just translate it to the big leagues. Second,
the gap between AAA and the majors has never been bigger than it is right now.
And that's why GMs get paid the big bucks, to be like, you know what? Like, I know you guys want to see this shiny new toy, which, fair enough. Like, he's going to be very, like, these guys are going to be very good, but it's like they get paid the big bucks to know when the right time is to pull that trigger. So I trust in Jed to decide, like, do we go with Cade Horton? Do we go with Chris Flexen and kind of go from there? And I think it'll be fine for our Cubbies.
I think it'll be interesting to see what the value on some of those guys is. Like, Moises Ballesteros is just a really interesting prospect in terms of the fact that he's a 5'8" catcher that's kind of fringy at defense. So his bat is clearly ready for the major league level. But if he's not a catcher, then what is he? Is he a DH? Could he be a first baseman? There's never the last time there was a 5'8" first baseman in the major leagues was 1930. So he'd be breaking like a 100-year precedent of not having a first baseman be that short. But is the bat good enough that you could roll him out? You know, like, he's a really interesting guy. And a lot of those prospects are, I almost think about your Oklahoma City Thunder, where when you have so many of one thing, you know, the Thunder have so many draft picks that you actually start to get a markdown on their value, because teams are like, well, you can't draft all those guys.
Yeah.
You know, like, you, when you have 16 draft picks, they're like, yeah, but you can't draft 16 guys. Like, at some point, you're going to have to trade some of these. I do wonder if there's like a diminishing value on some of these prospects a little bit, just because there are so many of them. And clearly there's not room in Chicago for all of them.
I think that's a very good problem to have for
sure.
Moises is also 21, and he's 21. When's he going to turn 22? Let's find out. He's going to turn 22 after this year. So he's 21 all year. And catchers don't debut as early as other position players. It's just defensively, it's a tough position to learn. It's a tough position to, you know, get really good at and understand how to do it defensively. And so, you know, a lot of times when you see catchers debut, they're 23, 24, 25. And so, like, he's an interesting one as far as like trade value. And, but also at the same time, it's like, the bat's great. Like, watching in spring training, it's impressive. But, you know, he's got plenty of time to develop as a catcher and positionally. And, like, you don't have to rush. That's the nice part about having a good team, too. Like, you don't have to rush him.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, it's a good problem to have, where you have all these prospects where, like, we want to call them up, but there's nowhere to put them. And then it's like, okay, like, the only tough part becomes like, well, which ones do you trade? And then you trade them and they become really good. And you're like, dang it. I wish we didn't trade that guy. But that's the nature of the beast.
But that, yeah, that's like you have to accept that you're going to have not all these guys are going to be Cubs. And some of them are going to have to move to get the pieces that the Cubs clearly need. They still have not solved third base. They haven't solved the bullpen. So, you know, some of these guys are going to have to move to fix some of those problems.
Ian, yes, your hands up.
Do you think the Padres are mad about the Juan Soto trade and all the guys that they gave up to get Juan Soto? I'll answer that question. I don't think so. I don't think they're mad. They're a really good team. They're tied for first in the division or in first in the division or right there. They're playing good baseball. They got plenty of bullpen. They got plenty of starting pitching. They got great position player group. Like all of those guys that they traded that are doing really well in the Nats, are they like, darn. No,
they took a flip, though, to be fair.
Yeah, they took a risk. Yeah. They traded a bunch of prospects. They had Soto, and then they traded Soto and flipped him for
Michael King.
Michael King has been fantastic.
I mean, and it comes back to like our more relevant team of like Cam Smith. Like he's looked good for the Astros, but do you think Cubs fans are sitting here like, oh, I wish we didn't have Kyle Tucker? Like, no, I think everyone's pretty happy that the Cubs have Kyle Tucker right now because he's a pretty darn good player. I know what you mean. Like, it's tough. Like, you never know how guys are going to pan out either. Like, you don't root for it, but like, there are guys that are big prospects and you trade them and then they just never really work out. So it is what it is. And like I said, that's why the GMs get paid the big bucks to make those choices.
As a Yankee fan who watched them pass on many a deadline, holding on to the godsend that was Clint Frazier and Miguel Andujar.
Can you stop going negative, dude? Stop going negative. I'm sick about it. We couldn't trade them.
They were so valuable.
I'm going to go positive. Bruce Bolt, okay? Bruce Bolt, that's what I'm going to go positive about. You know who's wearing Bruce Bolt besides me and besides Zach Short? The Cincinnati Bearcats have been rocking some Bruce Bolt. I believe they swept Memphis this weekend. That's not right. Is it right? You know what? This ad's going, it's going sideways. I'm going to fix it. They swept Kansas, okay? Swept Kansas.
That's so different than
they're
Memphis.
Both blue.
They're both blue. And you have to remember that when I played at Cincinnati, we played Memphis. Now they're in the Big 12. Okay. They swept Kansas, who was a ranked team.
Isn't one of Craig's kids on Kansas? I think he's got a kid.
I think so. I'll have to have a conversation with him about that today. 7-2 in the first one. And then we went 18-14. Bruce Bolts really worked. And then 13-4. So the Bruce Bolts were hot. They were scoring runs. They were doing it. Bearcats, big series. Shout out to the Bearcats. Shout out to them wearing Bruce Bolt. Send them a little package. I see a lot of the photos. The kids are rocking the Bruce Bolts. You'd love to see it. Cincinnati Bearcats, sweep. Love it. BruceBolt.us. Go get your batting gloves, signature series. Use code HAPPEN. Check out BruceBolt.us.
Cincinnati Bearcats. What a squad.
Go Bearcats.
We didn't talk about, and obviously I think this is maybe a little bit unique to me because I'm not always locked in on Cubs Brewers the way I was this weekend, but crowds were incredible this weekend up in Milwaukee. Felt like a home atmosphere for you guys a little bit. It was, I mean, when PCA hit those homers, like we had some photos and stuff. I was looking at some of the photos. And it looked like a home game for you guys. I mean, people were just, you know, it's really cool to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's just amazing the way that our fan base travels. And I think one of the things that we're lucky about in division is that we have a bunch of close trips. So fans in division can, I think Pittsburgh's probably the toughest one, but like in division, the fans can get to most of the stadiums. And so they travel well, they show up. Obviously Milwaukee being an hour and a half drive from Chicago makes it easy. And it's really cool. It's really cool when behind our dugout, you see like, whether it's club shirts or W flags or whatever, like it's a special thing. And yeah, the fans really showed up. I was saying on Friday was a good crowd and it was kind of filling in a little bit. And I was like, people are definitely like getting out of work on a Friday and getting up here because it like, you know, 5 o'clock or whatever, or 6 o'clock, it wasn't, when we were out for PvP, it wasn't quite full yet. Then like by the second inning, it was a really strong crowd. And it's not even the summer yet. You know, once the summer hits and we go up there, I don't know when we go up there next, but summer hits and we go up there for there on a weekend, like it'll be jumping.
Cubs fans travel probably the best in the MLB too. Like everywhere you go, you see Cubs, like San Diego. There's like,
yeah, it's kind of like Cubs, Dodgers. Yeah. Cubs, Dodgers, Boston, and the Yankees, like all travel really well. The one that was shocking at Wrigley, and Dodgers traveled really well here. When they came,
I was gonna say, you got to mention the Dodgers. They've done some incredible takeovers. Like they were walking down 161st River and at Yankee Stadium and had a huge crowd. They were walking through Wrigleyville. They've definitely, been probably the number one, I would say, in terms of
they've traveled really well. But what I was going to say is,
I think Cubs fans.
Years ago, when came in, I think it was 2017, Toronto came in, and it was the first time that they had played in Wrigley in a long time. And obviously, we're not too far from Canada. I was shocked by how many Blue Jays fans were at Wrigley in 2017.
Really?
That's the one that like really sticks out, where I was like, oh my God. It felt like Wrigley always feels like, you know, 95% Cubs fans. There's times when St. Louis is good and there's a red presence in the stands. There's times when you know, Dodgers come in and there's Dodger fans, but it always feels like overwhelmingly Cubs. Then when 17, when Toronto came in, it was like,
Wait a second,
they might have half the stadium. It was like, it was crazy.
That's impressive.
So yeah, it's really cool when our fan base travels and shows up places, which is almost always. And you know, as players, you appreciate it.
Yeah.
Cubbies have an interesting week. All right. We go on the road. Okay. We went on the road for a week. Come home. We only play three at home. This is a rare come back home, play three games. We got San Francisco coming in for three. Playing really good baseball. Should be a fun series at Wrigley. It's going to be cold tonight. Don't love that, but it's going to be nice the next 2 days. Then we have an off day in New York on Thursday, play three, and then we come back home. So we got 2 3-game sets where we're traveling around, which is a rare thing in the schedule.
I have a question. We were talking about this in the office. Who determines, like, when you guys flew last week on the Monday off day later in the day to Pittsburgh? And obviously now on this upcoming off day, you'll fly early to get to New York and then have the off day there. Who makes that decision?
It's a joint decision at times between manager, traveling secretary, players. We do both. Some teams travel like every, you know, at the end of the game, they always go. Some teams, they fly on the off day. We have a little bit of a mix where, like, if you can get some more time with your family at home and travel on the off day, maybe it's a city, maybe it's time of the week or a city that is a little, it's closer or less desirable, a combination of the things. Like, believe me, I want to be in Pittsburgh on the off day. Grow up there. Love it. Great golf. I'd be there. But it's a 55-minute flight. Like, it's really easy. So, like, we fly that night. 55 minutes getting to Pittsburgh, you're still there at a reasonable hour. You know, you get to spend the whole day with your family, which is nice. Now, New York, like, that's a trip that everybody wants to get to the city. Everybody wants to spend an off day in New York. It's a little bit of a longer flight. So, like, New York, you always fly before. Like, if you're going to the West Coast, like, you're flying before, you're getting acclimated, you're spending the off day out there. I would say, in general, if we're going to fly on the off day, it's in division, shorter flight. Like, we're really lucky in the Central to have these 45-minute to an hour tests to Cincy, to Pittsburgh, to St. Louis. So a lot of times in division, if we have an off day, we'll kind of travel on the off day and get a little bit extra time at home.
We've done this before, I'm sure, but what is your favorite road place to have an off day at?
I would say
Pittsburgh. You're from there.
Yeah, I do like a Pittsburgh off day. It's pretty rare, but I do like it. I would actually go to sneaky Washington, D.C.,
Ooh, love that.
DC is my favorite. There's some great golf around DC. Georgetown is fantastic to hang.
Recurring theme here is basically, where's the best golf?
I mean, yeah, that's a big part of my, not going to lie to you, it's a big part of my decision making.
Yeah,
and smart. DC's got a combo of great golf and really cool place where we stay.
How often does family go with you? Like, how often would, like, your wife go with you on a trip? Or is it more like a wives trip versus, like, is it, I feel like it's rare where just like a couple wives go. Like, it's typically like all the families are going or they don't really travel, right?
Yeah, the Cubs are good about, like, if we're going to a New York, a Miami or something, like families can fly back. Usually, like, you can't fly to the city with the team, but
yeah,
you know, if the families get there, they can fly back with the team after the trip, stuff like that.
Is Julie going to New York?
No.
No.
Nope. But yeah, I think a lot of like you'll do like one family trip a year where it's like you can fly with the team to the place, generally, is what we've done in the past. But yeah, that's like the big ones are always a West Coast trip, New York, Miami, I would say, are the kind of like the, you're going to see a lot of families there, especially like New York with an off day.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there will be a ton of families who are hanging in New York for an off day plus a weekend.
Oh no, your wife's not going. Now you have to golf in New York. No.
Oh, I had to play golf on Thursday. It's going to
no.
Darn.
They'll never hear this. So it's okay.
I don't know yet. We're still figuring it out. Still figuring
still
it out.
Well, you're in I'll have an contact update. With a couple clubs. You need.
I'll have an update next week on how the round was.
You need Zach to get you on Bethpage?
That's public. It's not. That's all right. You just book a tee time there. But all right. It's all right, man.
State Park, Bethpage State Park.
I'm not a Northeasterner. I don't know what to tell you.
They have like seven different courses there too.
Never been invited.
Sorry.
Again, public park. Don't need to be invited.
No one's ever brought me out there. Wish they would.
You got a car. Drive there.
Too far. I don't even get invited to Chicago. Are we? Oh, you play Saturday of the live show. Dang it.
Yeah, Brent, it's not going to be a golf time for us.
I mean, we could probably get a real early tee time, you know?
We're not getting a really early tee time.
I'm kidding, Cubs fans. I'm kidding. Ian's locked in on the game. I swear.
What time would you physically have to play golf to make it to a 1:20 start? You couldn't.
You'd have to be teeing off when the sun's not up yet.
Yeah.
Oh, even if then, you started like, at 6, you could be there. For,
no, I get to the ball. I get to the ballpark at 9:30.
Nine holes.
We'd play fast.
Good. Sydney Maravitz, right by Wrigley. Go get
Sounds
nine.
To me like
go,
we're making
go get
plans.
A quick nine in.
We're making plans.
I might go play Sydney Maravitz on Saturday. I was, you Sydney know, Maravitz. It's supposed to be 70, and I have a Saturday off. I was thinking about doing it.
Shout out to the first tee, Greater Chicago. Sydney Maravitz, if you play there, the first tee has a facility at Sydney Maravitz. It's awesome. They built it a couple years ago, and I was involved with it. But it's a really, really cool thing that they did right on the water. Shout out first tee, Greater Chicago.
Can you get me Golf on there? Charity. Can you get me on there? You got any hookups?
It's a public what course.
Need? What do you need, man?
I know, but I feel cooler if I got a hookup.
I'll send you the Golf Now link.
I feel more pro.
That's like when people ask for tickets, and it's like, hey, can I get a couple tickets? It's like StubHub. Ever heard of it?
People if you responded to me and said StubHub, like for that Saturday, if you go, yeah, StubHub, like I'm not coming to the live show. That's a promise.
I would never StubHub you, man.
Also, VJ wouldn't allow it. I'd just shoot VJ a text. Yeah. I still got his number.
People don't realize that you have to pay for tickets. People pay for tickets. It's just not like it's not a commonly known thing. It's like, no, you play for the team. They must give you free tickets. Like, no, that's not how it works.
In the minors. Well, that was like when you came to Seattle and I was going to a game and I asked you, I was like, so how many is too many tickets? And you go, you get four. I was like, cool. Because I didn't know how else to ask. I was like, I'm not going to ask for like 10. But I was like, I mean, like, what's like, I was texting Scott and Zach. I'm like, what's like a reasonable number? Not that I even had that many people to invite. I was more so just kind of curious.
Dakota was just going to get as many tickets as he could. If you said 8, he would have been like, okay, great.
No, because he said I could have 4 and I only asked for 3. So see, I was reasonable. I'm a reasonable man. I know because I was there. I mean, not
Tom, you guys got tickets floating around the office?
Not really. No. I haven't been to a game yet, considering I do walk by the stadium every single day. I haven't actually been inside.
I mean,
it's crazy.
Sell out crowds.
I can hear it. I like it's cool walking by during games and stuff. Like sometimes I'll go get lunch during a game and like you can you know hear it, and it's my favorite part about walking around there during a game.
What are the chances you could get me to be like Bat Boy on May 31st? It'd be kind of cool,
dude.
You'd be a Batman.
That would be unbelievable.
Don't actually. I feel like you just jumped up to your computer to actually do that. Don't. I won't be Bat Boy.
Yeah, you're
too nervous. You can't drink if you're Bat Boy.
Ooh, that's
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
That'd be sober.
I don't know what's in my water bottle.
Jose Ramirez, first Cleveland Guardian player to reach 250 stolen bases and 250 career home runs.
That's crazy. May 1st. Crazy that he's the first ever.
First ever. He's the first Guardians third baseman with 250 career home runs.
Is he fast or is he more just like crafty on the bases?
That might not be right. That might have been a miswording in the stat thing. I'm just going to take that one back. Definitely is the first player to reach 250. This says first third baseman.
This is a good segment so far.
Now I'm getting conflicting reports here. I want to get this right. First third baseman in club history to go 250. So maybe somebody else went 250. This is very confusing.
By the way, how many stolen bases do you think Jose Ramirez had last season?
I have to imagine it's more than what I would think, so I'm going to say like 26.
How many when?
Last season, 2024.
39, right? Or 40. He went 40. He was almost 40, but he didn't get the homer. He had 39 homers. He had like 42, 40-some bags.
Very good, Ian. He had 41 stolen bases last year, which as Dakota said, I would have guessed like 12, 14. Yeah. Like, didn't realize he had that kind of base running ability, and yeah, the 39 homers, so Ian, nearly a 40-40 guy.
Obviously he has speed, but like, is he that fast or is he more just like crafty on the bases?
He's sneaky fast.
It's not like he's like a big guy, but like he's a little thicker, like, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't imagine him out there swiping bags every game.
He doesn't look like Chandler Simpson, you know. He doesn't read burner.
Chandler Simpson screams, "I'm gonna steal second, third, and home every time I'm on base."
He's in the 84th sprint speed percentile at 28.4. And that's on StatCast. And can I just say about the StatCast, whatever their like running metric is as far as sprint speed, it doesn't tell the full story of like.
What's yours?
Mine's middle of the pack ish, I would say, like 50th percentile. But I'll just because I know from our internal metrics, like this says 27.1 is my like sprint speed. I know that I've popped 28.5, 28.8 this year, and like in the past I've popped 29 plus. So I just know that it's not exact because it takes an average, right? And like sometimes if you're running down the line to first but you don't get like your best time off, sometimes that comes in. Or if you're going first to home and you don't, or second to home and you don't have to hit like your top speed because you can make it at 80%. Like, I think sometimes that factors in. So like him being 28.8 or whatever it said, My point is, like, I think he can get to almost 30, like, if he's really getting after it. So that means he's very fast. That's my point.
I think the Cubs are just juicing your stats to make you feel better.
Can I also say something? This is the 250-250 thing here, the stolen bases and homers. He's one of seven players to reach that milestone with one franchise. Jose Ramirez, Derek Jeter, Craig Biggio, Barry Bonds, Ryan Sandberg, Cubby legend, Robin Yao, Willie Mays. That's a good list. It's a very good list. That's really awesome. He is definitely going to be a 300-300 guy. Possibility of a 400-400 guy. Like, that's pretty good. 300-300 for sure. 400-400 would be.
That's elite company to be in. As a switch hitter, too, that's got to make you happy.
Yeah, oh yeah. Best switch hitter in baseball.
After you.
Can we give a fluff to eight? I had some stats here. Entering yesterday, last 18 games, 368 average, 15 runs, 28 hits, 11 walks. That's a 448 on base and a 500 slug. He had eight multi-hit games.
You know what? And this is me being Tom here. How many homers, though?
Yeah, two homers. Power's
coming. I need some balls leaving the park, eight. Power's coming. Juice.
Take a look at the expected slug versus the actual slug. It's coming. Hitting the ball hard. We're hitting the ball hard. We're not hitting the ball on the ground. I can tell you
You've been hitting some laser beams.
Hitting the ball hard and in the air, and the homers are coming. It's May 5th.
I believe. I know you. I think you're going to get your career best this year in homers.
Also, I'm just going to put this out there for you. Having 10-plus extra base hits in April, love it. Absolutely love it, because I've had years in my career where, let me tell you, don't have that many in April. I've had one. I think I had one last year in April. Like,
ever since I told you to stop trying to be like Rizzo with the April, you turned it on since then. That kind of hit home for you.
I mean, as someone who's watched pretty much every at-bat you've had this season, I feel like the approach has been the same, and like you've been as squaring up some more balls lately. But like, even when you were, the numbers said you were scuffling a little bit at the beginning of the year, I kind of felt like you were fine. I was never worried, because it was like, the at-bats look good, the approach looks good, you're walking. For me, as long as you're walking, you're always like, you know, you're on it. So you've been walking, and even yesterday, that at-bat in the ninth was like, you were 0-for in the day, come up, start a little rally in the ninth, that opposite way, single on 100. Like, you've been able to handle velocity really well, which is obviously something you've done across your career. But like, I've been particularly impressed getting to watch all your at-bats, being like, you can throw 102 and H ready for it.
Look at Tom turning a new leaf, being a fluff guy instead of a Debbie Downer.
Thanks, Tom. I had one homer in March, April last year. Had in 2023, I had two homers March, April, only three doubles. It's only five extra base hits.
I try to fluff the guy, and he just immediately goes back to the negative.
Because he's saying how he's doing much better this year.
Well, he's like trying to defend himself. Yeah, but he doesn't need to.
2021, I had one homer. That was my only extra base hit, April, March. I'm just saying, historically, April, the March, April, it's Wrigley. You got to get through Wrigley, March, April. It's just not going to be very advantageous for extra base hits. So I'm just saying, very happy, very good.
We think you're doing great. I don't know who you're.
Well, you went negative.
I knew it bothered you.
You went negative, and I'm just putting it out there that I am two homers March, April. Very happy. These guys on our team that are going crazy have an 8-9. I really am like, I was talking to somebody, my brother, yesterday, and I was like, I would fight somebody for 9 homers in April.
Would you fight the gorilla? Would you be one of the guys to fight the gorilla?
Oh, yeah. I'd get in the cage. Don't, no matter what. Nine?
Have you guys
in
seen
April?
This? Where are you guys on the 1 versus 100 gorilla? Have you seen this?
I think if you can pick the 100 people, that gorilla's done. And I see videos of gorillas. I'm like, that thing's huge. But I'm saying, like, if you're giving me like 100 of whoever I want as the 100, like, I'm not in there. No chance. I'm in there.
Here's the question. It's a no weapon situation. And what happens? The gorilla, the first guy, right? The first wave of people, that's tough. Like, the first couple guys are getting ragdolled. And I think the question is, how does that affect morale after that? You know, if you see the guy in front of you get picked up by the gorilla and ragdolled, are you like, I don't know if I want to keep going then?
Well, that's why you got to send in like waves of like 10 to 12 guys. Gorillas are big. There's plenty of surface area there for multiple guys to get attacks in. I think we take him with 100. He gets worn down.
What's your attack strategy? How are you attacking the gorilla?
Well, I'm more just an innocent bystander. I'm not in there.
So you're like the coach of the team that's the 100 men that's fighting the gorilla.
It's either I'm the coach or I'm the sacrificial lamb, and I'll go first and just like try to distract him with like extra food and like, oh, that's a big body guy. Like, I'm going to distract him with how long it takes to kill this big guy. And then I'm going to let everyone else do the work while I die for us. You're welcome.
That's a team guy right there.
That's, you know, team that's guy. All I am. I do love like when the internet gets in those debates, though, and I'm like, I don't get too deep into it because I'm like, we'll never know. Like, why are we doing this?
All right, I got a hot take. Danny Mueller, hot take, very topical. Kentucky Derby isn't as exciting as people say.
I disagree.
I think I agree. I'll be honest, like, I didn't even sniff it yet on Saturday. I was golfing, to be fair, but I also was like, I don't really care if I miss it.
I think it's cool. It's one of the sporting events left. We had it on at the office the other day. Game was about to start. Every person in the off, or at least every person that I saw was in my immediate area, came over to that TV and watched the race. Because it's a very easy sell. It's 2 minutes. It's like, hey, you got 2 minutes? And most people are willing to give up 2 minutes. I also saw, I think, the Red Sox were in a rain delay. Every guy in the field had his eyes on the scoreboard because they were showing the race. So I feel like it's a pretty easy sell. It's only 2 minutes. What was it, 2022? There was the 80-1 long shot that won the race in a really dramatic fashion. So you never know what you're going to get. It's cool. I've been to Churchill Downs. I love Churchill Downs. And I'm obviously biased. My parents live up in Saratoga. I grew up around horse racing.
You're a horse racing guy.
I am a horse racing guy. I was saying to you, you know, I think eight after he retires, Jason Wirth is getting a lot of play as an owner. And like, we can get eight in there as an owner, you know, and getting all these interviews and getting all the press. Like, Jason Wirth? Yeah, fuck Jason Wirth.
Whoa. Why are you going negative again,
man? We definitely
man?
Can't keep that because you can't swear. God.
Yeah, I'm not a big horse racing guy. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't know anything about it. Yeah. That doesn't really, it's not that exciting for me. I'll tell you, I like 6:02 race started. Our game started at 6:10. There was definitely people that watched the race. I was getting ready to take an at bat against Jose Quintana, so like I wasn't.
Yeah, you.
I was in the dugout.
That's fine.
I was in the dugout locked in. I wasn't too concerned about the race. This doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, like it's not something where I'm gonna like make it appointment television. I don't dislike. I have nothing like Ian said. Like I just don't really get it, and I'm just like, like it's quick, it's cool, but I'm like, I would rather watch. I also follow so many other sports. I just only have so much capacity in my brain for these sports. I'm locked in on all these other things.
Somebody was like, hey, do you want to come to my Kentucky Derby party? I'd probably be like, no, thanks.
Would you go? Like, have you ever been to the track? Like, would you?
I was
going to
say, Ian, knowing you though, how you like going to F1, I think you'd love going there because you like those sort of like bougie events.
There's other races throughout the day, right? Yeah. It's not just the one.
It's like a 15 race car. They build up. Usually the Kentucky Derby is like the 13th or 14th race of the day.
You'd go there, you'd sip some wine, you'd shake Julie some could hands, wear a fun hat. Kiss some babies. Like,
yeah, the weather looked kind of not great for this one. But yeah, I mean, maybe it would be fun in person.
You're such a networker, you'd go and you'd get some deals done, though.
That's a good point.
Maybe a new sponsor. You never know. Also, you could never go, obviously, until you're done playing because it's during the season. But
yeah. It's one of those things when people are like, have you ever been to the Masters? It's like, how would I get there?
Yeah, like how would I do
that?
What
are you talking about? Let's do the Sloan Screen Time. Let's get the people what they want with the Sloan Screen Time. Actually, maybe tweet at us and tell us what your take is on the hot take, on the Damian Mueller hot take. Sloan's the world's leading manufacturer of commercial plumbing systems. Our friends at Sloan been seeing Sloan Valve everywhere, and we love to see it. If you are in the neighborhood, go to Wrigley. Check out the Sloan valves. Check out the flushing capability. What are your screen times?
2:40.
3 hours and 6 minutes.
1:45.
Yeah, there was never a world he wasn't winning.
That's episode 257 of the Compound Podcast presented by Parse Rem. Go to Binnie's, get your Parse, send us a photo. Music Box Theater, May 31st. May 31st, 7 p.m., Music Box Theater. PCA is going to join us. Go get your tickets, musicboxtheater.com. See you next week.
Baseball's all about the games. And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Odyssey Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.